Welcome to the Lewiston Live Podcast, a monthly show highlighting a historic city that blends a rich industrial past with a dynamic and evolving present. We'll take an in-depth look at the day-to-day operations, our vibrant community, and vision for Maine's second largest city. I'm your host, Mark Turcott, joined in studio by Lewiston City Administrator Brian Kainrath and Lydia Media's Pam Ashby. This is our very first episode of Lewiston Live. Brian, I know it's something the city's been wanting to do for a little while, and we're extremely excited about this partnership.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. I think it is going to be a great partnership, and one thing we'll probably talk a little bit more about later is just public engagement and communication, and so we're looking to get out and about as much as possible and engage with the citizens of our city and get our message out there and all the things we want to do for, as you mentioned, the great city of Lewiston.
And Pam, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
You were just here this morning.
I was. Feels like I never left.
I know, right? So, Brian, I think before we get into city business, it'd be great to hear a little bit about your educational background and your career in public service.
Yeah, thanks. So I went to the University of Maine in Orono, and I graduated there in 2006 now. And my senior year, I was really interested in running for office. And so I ran for the Maine House of Representatives at the age of 22. It was an interesting experience, to say the least, at that age. But I served 4 terms there. I think it's one of the best forms of education you can receive is being dropped into the middle of a state legislature when you're in your early 20s and learning about people and process and politics and sort of how things work there. And so that was a great education. But we have term limits. I was termed out at 30, and I need to find something else to do with my life. And I was always interested a bit in the municipal side of things and city government. And so I started looking for some town manager positions and landed my first one in the town of Goldsboro, which is up across the bay, Frenchman Bay from Bar Harbor in down East Maine. Town of 2,000 people, largely fishermen and tourists, really interesting experience there. And I moved on to a few other cities and I'm coming from Waterville, but was in Saco for a period of time before I came to Lewiston. So. Mm-hmm.
What inspired you to pursue a career in public service?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting being able to work with the public. It's not always for everyone, obviously. There are ups and downs to that. But I think, you know, and what I tell people is whether you're serving in elective office or you're serving in a position like a city manager, you have an ability, I think, on a daily basis to make some sort of positive change in a community and some sort of positive change in people's lives. And you don't always get to do that. And you have to take the opportunities when they come. And sometimes the wheels of government turn slowly, but they can turn. And so I think just the opportunity to actually make tangible progress in the world, in our brief time here on this planet, to actually do something positive is really interesting. You don't always get, the results you want. You don't always get the exact, wins that you want, but progress is progress. And sometimes progress is certainly better than nothing. And so a lot of people can be frustrated by just the process involved in government. When you do get those wins, when you do actually accomplish something great, it's really nice to savor those moments, sure, because they're sometimes few and far between. But we all, as public officials and public servants, have these opportunities. It's something that I think is somewhat unique to our profession. And I think it's really great when it does happen. And my goal is to make some kind of tangible, positive difference for now the city of Lewiston and get some wins on the board.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You're in the right place for positivity. We're all about being positive about our communities and the people around it and in it. Here, what intrigued you about Lewiston?
Yeah, so Lewiston, I think when you look at communities throughout Maine, is really one that is just ripe with potential. Obviously, the city of Lewiston has a lot of challenges. We've had a lot of challenges. They're not always easy challenges to solve, but the potential is there. The opportunity is huge. And, you know, I look at, just for example, our downtown. We have an incredible stretch of downtown on Lisbon Street, just the architecture, the buildings, the layout. There's so much opportunity and potential. And so I really saw Lewiston as I just said a minute ago, a real opportunity to really make some serious positive difference and positive change and really move the needle in this community. There are a lot of great communities in Maine. There are a lot of great cities in Maine. But I think they don't all have the same potential and opportunity that Lewiston does right now. I really think we're at a point to take off. We have some challenges, as I said, but they are within our range to meet and to help solve. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a great community, incredible history, incredible people, one of the youngest cities in the state, incredible diversity, incredible workforce, incredible architecture that just needs a little bit of help in certain mm-hmm. areas. And so I'm here to hopefully move the ball down the field and make some of this progress. But I think the potential is huge. That's what drew me here. And I can say after 2 months, I believe that more than ever. We have the passion, we have the opportunity, and we have the possibilities in this community to really go the distance.
Absolutely.
Brian, you were a member of the Maine House of Representatives at age 22,
yeah.
and you served 4 terms. What did you learn from that experience about working with others with differing opinions?
That is the biggest takeaway I think you come out of in working the legislature is in order to get anything done, in order to really make any progress, you're going to have to work with people, and they may be different from you. They may have different political philosophies from you. They may come from different places in the world from you. But you have to find ways to bridge those divides, to bridge that gap, and really be able to sit down and work with people in a meaningful way, not always in a partisan way, and try to get some things done. I would say the frustrating thing about Augusta is, like other places and like Washington, D.C., obviously, there is real partisanship. There is a real divide there. And I can tell you, I came in, I think, as someone who was somewhat brash and just wanted to get things done. And I thought I was going to accomplish all these great things. And I was a relatively partisan person. And you learn when you're there that in order to get anything done, you have to work with people who may be different from you and who may have different priorities than you. But it's about bridging those divides, coming together and collectively trying to accomplish something positive for, in that sense, the state. So it teaches you, I think, a bit to slow down, to chill out a little bit, to get to know your colleagues, to get to know people, and try to really hammer out some positive things and be constructive. Because I think you can spend a lot of time there doing things that are not really constructive, and arguing and fighting, and in letting some of the national politics trickle down and cause, you know, rifts here in our own state of Maine. But so that's I think that was the biggest thing that I learned there was just how to really work with people who are different from you and how to bridge divides and look for that common ground when it does exist.
You came to this job following the resignation of Heather Hunter. When this job became available and you first heard of it, what was your initial reaction?
So I think, you know, I can say just among our, our sort of main, managers community, I don't think anyone was really anticipating a vacancy here that early after Heather came on. But, so I it was kind of interesting that it was open. I certainly wasn't looking to make a move, in my career at that point. I think Lewiston was someplace that always intrigued me, where I was always interested in what was happening. But I certainly wasn't expecting that. And I did have to really put a lot of thought into whether I wanted to pursue this. I was in Waterville, a lot of great things happening there also, downtown and otherwise. Great city, lots of things up and coming there. So it was really after a lot of thought, they put the position out once. I did not apply in the first round. I saw that it went out a second time because they didn't find, a candidate that they found suitable and really thought about and had some conversations and discussions and thought I'd throw my hat in the ring and, it ultimately prevailed. But certainly not something I was thinking about.
And what was the process like?
The process for one of these positions, it can be a relatively intense interview process of multiple sessions. I think our one interview session went almost 4 hours, the one evening, which isn't unlike our council meetings, if you follow those. I should have been forewarned about that. Our last council meeting was 8.5 hours. So it's a number of interviews. Then obviously there's a pretty significant background, check process that, can be a little intrusive at times, but it was necessary as part of the deal. So but it was a good process. The city had hired a consultant that I had, I'd known and worked with before. And I thought it went pretty well, with the council and everything. So, but if you're pursuing one of these positions, be ready for some long interviews and a lot of sessions and some other, hoops in there to jump through. But you want to make sure you get the right person.
Yeah.
And, it's always sometimes, for the council's sake, if you pick the wrong person, it can be a lot harder on the other end sometimes. So you want to make sure you get it right.
So you're saying they did their due diligence.
I'm saying they did their due diligence, absolutely. Yeah, and I credit them for that.
And what was your reaction, Brian, when you found out that you were Lewiston's new city administrator?
Yeah, well, no, I was pleased, obviously. You know, you go through this process and you want a positive result at the end. It's certainly better than you know, being passed over. So, but no, I was, like I said, I wasn't exactly expecting this, you know, when it came about. But, you know, you go through the process and you certainly prepare yourself for, you know, the actual move if the offer is coming. And so I was ready, I was prepared, but I was pretty excited when I got the news.
Any similarities that you see between Waterville and Lewiston?
Yeah, there are a lot of similarities, actually. You know, they're both central Maine, still in some ways recovering mill cities with some economic challenges, with challenges around the unhoused population, with challenges around, you know, some drug use, mental health. So, and also just, you know, when it comes to city resources and trying to get some things done, you know, resources are limited. Taxpayers can only absorb so much, and we want to be as judicious as possible with our budget. So, you know, Waterville falls into the same boat, not, you know, an extremely wealthy, you know, community, a limited tax base. You know, it's interesting. Some people don't realize that in Waterville's case or in Lewiston's case, a quarter or more, in Waterville's case, a little bit more, of the tax base is tax exempt. Colleges, hospitals, churches, nonprofits, et cetera. So really, you know, when you think about it, we're only looking at 75% or maybe even less of potential taxable properties are actually contributing. So and that's not to say these organizations aren't doing great work. They are, but it's just something we need to be mindful of, right, you know, with our budget. So, yeah, so a lot of similarities, I think. But again, both communities, incredible opportunity too. And I think are both in the process of, again, getting a second look from a lot of people out there who may have kind of said, oh, you know, Lewiston or Waterville, you know. I think they're really getting a second look now and should, because there's some really exciting and great things happening, particularly in the downtowns. We want to keep that train moving forward.
Transparency and accountability goes a long way when it comes to public figures. And it seemed like as soon as you accepted the position, you were scheduling meet and greets throughout the city. What was the reception like?
Yeah, so that's something I've been doing ever since I was elected to the State House. I had, you know, Saturday morning constituent coffee hours. You know, I think public engagement is a huge piece of any public position. People need to feel heard. Their input needs to feel, you know, that it's valued and that someone is listening. So I've been doing those for, you know, 20 years now, I guess, in all of my positions. And again, they're very well received. They're often well attended. You know, my meet and greets here, we've had upwards of 50 people at a couple of them. We had about 40 people at Geiger School a few weeks ago. So I think they really appreciate the opportunity to come in and just, and this isn't me talking at people. You know, I open it up with just a quick thing, but then it's your opportunity to give your feedback, and I'm listening the rest of the time. And it's amazing how many people really just need an opportunity to vent and to air their concerns. And, you know, we may not always agree 100% of the time on every issue, but what I think is most important, I think what's most appreciated is even if we can't agree on every single thing all the time, the opportunity was there to have a dialogue, to listen, and to make sure your concerns were given, you know, the light of day. And I think people really appreciate that. And I think too often in government, up and down different levels of government, there's sort of a tendency to stonewall or to go into bunker mentality instead of just actually going, you know, more transparent and being more open. And sometimes you get more with that than you do trying to avoid the public or avoid tough issues or not take people's, you know, comments, you know, seriously. So I've always found that to be helpful in everything I've done. And, you know, I can tell you even, you know, back when I was in the legislature, there were some votes that people didn't agree with, and they would call and they would leave me some pretty nasty phone messages, and we would have some tough conversations. But I remember one guy in particular, we had a couple sort of go-arounds. I explained my position, he explained his, we didn't agree, but, you know, we talked for an extended period of time. And I remember the next election, he asked me to put my lawn sign on his lawn, even though we didn't agree on probably 75% of things. But he appreciated that I was like the only one that would listen to him and actually pick up his phone calls. And sometimes that goes a long way. So it's just giving people an opportunity to have their concerns heard and to vent. And I think it's really helpful. And again, the other piece is, you know, the more trust and confidence people have in what we're doing at City Hall, the more we're going to be able to get done for the community too.
Yeah.
If the community understands that we have their best interests in mind, your input is going to be heard. And while we may not agree all the time, it's like, well, those people kind of have their act together and they're accessible. And, you know, I believe in what they're doing. That trust and confidence in local government goes a long way. Because as you know, government up and down the ladder now, it has a bit of a trust and confidence deficit. And so the more we can do on the local level, turn that around, we're going to keep trying.
What were you hearing from residents at the meet and greets?
Yeah, so it's, I tell people the good news about Lewiston is I think we are united around really kind of a group of core issues that people think are the biggest issues facing the city. So at these meet and greets, I've heard a lot about public safety. I've heard a lot about feeling safe in downtown. I've heard a lot about gun violence. I've also heard a lot about taxes and road conditions and potholes and trash collection and some of the other more mundane things that municipal governments do. But people are concerned about safety. People are concerned about, you know, I've heard a lot about, I'll say, for example, there are a number of people who think Lewiston's kind of best days are behind us, not ahead of us. And there's a lot of people who love this city and I think want to believe in this city, but need to be given a few more reasons to believe. I think they're in a spot, a lot of people right now, where they think we're in a bit of a hole and we need to start climbing out of it, but they need to see some light of day there. They need to start seeing some results, and I agree with them. But the good news is we have a lot of people who love this city. We have a lot of people who are passionate about this place, you know, never growing up on this place. And, you know, obviously it's had its ups and downs over the years. It's had some events that have been really tough. But we have, you know, we talk about some of the grit of the people of Lewiston, and it's there. They love this city. But they need to be given some more reasons to believe and some more reasons for hope.
Right. In the brief conversations we've had with you, it seems like your number one priority is public safety in this city. What is being done and what's on the agenda to address that?
It's a tough issue because we're dealing with a lot of things that some are new, some are not new. But a lot of it has to do with, you know, drug trade. A lot of it has to do with gun violence. And a lot of these issues are bigger than what just the police can do or policing issues. They're cultural issues. They're much bigger. You know, we have the gun violence that is plaguing, you know, some of our streets and some of our neighborhoods. You know, if you look at some of the actors involved, you know, unfortunately, it's a lot of, you know, young teens, you know, boys between 13 and 19 years old. And, you know, you can look at that and say there's a whole host of other issues surrounding that, whether it's, you know, positive role models in the community or, you know, other recreational opportunities for these kids to get involved with. There's a whole lot to unpack there. Mm-hmm. But I'll say, number one, you know, and some things are out of our control, too. But what we as a city of Lewiston can do, and, you know, I think the police are doing a fantastic job. They're severely understaffed. At the moment, we're down between officer vacancies as well as some folks out on medical or military in the range of 12 to 15 officers, which is, you know, significant, you know, for us. But, you know, visibility is important. We'd like to do more foot patrols in neighborhoods. We'd like to build more relationships with the community. These are all important things when it comes to solving crime, you know, later on. The better the relationship we have with folks in the community and the feedback that we get, that's all helpful. But I think, you know, we've had some things, you know, hot spots or flooding the zone, you know, in the past, which is really just, you know, a whole lot more visibility in certain neighborhoods. You know, that's been helpful. But I'd really like to see us do more just in terms of, like I said, the visibility piece, the building relationships piece within our existing resources that we have. You know, and there's a whole lot of other strategies out there that are much more, you know, law enforcement specific. But, you know, it's a big issue. It's a multifaceted issue, and it's really not just about policing, but it's really about also the youth in our community, and I think sometimes the role models they have, the opportunities they have access to, and making sure that we're covering those bases too.
And it goes a long way in improving the city's image as well, which I don't know about you, Pam, but when I hear negative talk about the city of Lewiston, it seems to be coming from its residents rather than its visitors.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking about saying is I feel some of the talk that happens, the negative comments, you know, my least favorite phrase, the dirty Lou, is always coming from someone that has literally lived in Lewiston their entire life, and it drives me bananas. Yep. I'm like, why? Why do you do that? Why put that stigma and keep that stigma going when it just, it doesn't make sense to me, so...
It's a lot easier than being part of the solution.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. And I will say there is a fair amount of negativity in our community. You know, sometimes the people that love the city the most are sometimes the most, challenging also. Mm-hmm. But I think they're speaking out of some frustration. For sure. And so that's how I take it. When I hear these things, I think that it doesn't mean that they don't love this city or they don't choose to live here, obviously. It means I think they're frustrated with some of the current conditions. I'm trying to look at the positive here. But and they think we can do better. And I think we can do better, too.
Yeah.
So I think it's just – and I've talked to a lot of these folks. I think it's just harnessing some of that energy. And it's like, okay, you know, you've identified our challenges. You've identified our problems. But seriously, what are the solutions, and how can you help us be part of those solutions? I think is the next question for those folks. But yeah, sometimes we can be our own worst enemy, for sure. But we have a lot of work to do with improving the city's reputation, as you mentioned. And it doesn't just come from launching a new marketing campaign or a communication strategy, although these things are important. I believe also that the product itself needs to be ready for a new marketing campaign or a new strategy. And so one thing I'm really looking a lot at and we've been tackling is just some of the visual and aesthetic issues around the city. So, when you drive into a place and you see graffiti and trash in the streets and park benches and bike racks and other things that are not, kept up, and the general conditions of the place don't seem that great. And you go to our largest park downtown and there are people shooting up drugs and they're drunk in public and there's trash everywhere and there's drug dealing. These are all major roadblocks for us. Because if we're talking about attracting investment into the city, if we're talking about attracting visitors here, if we're trying to attract people to come in and think about living here, that's not a very good first impression.
Right.
So one thing I've really been trying to strongly tackle is just some of this what I consider low-hanging fruit. Let's clean up the graffiti. Yep. Let's try to get a handle on some of the trash and dumping in the streets. We've made some major efforts with Kennedy Park the last 2 months since I've been here. And, I can tell you we're actually getting positive comments about the conditions of the park and things are improving. Because, I can tell you my first day here, I walked out through the park and, again, you see people shooting up drugs. You see people drunk in public. You see all kinds of activity that's not welcoming, graffiti, trash, maintenance issues. We've got to put our best face forward. And so we've been trying to do quite a bit in this area. And also just set, an example that and a new standard that this is what is acceptable in our public parks and in our downtown. And it's not some of the activity that we've seen there recently. So I think there's already been some progress. And this is not just me saying this. I've heard a number of comments about this. I had an elected official just this morning tell me that he's getting a lot of feedback, that people think the park is improving and things are getting better. And to be honest, a lot of this isn't rocket science.
Right.
We've set a new standard for what's acceptable in the park. We've cleaned up the graffiti. We're making sure we're keeping on top of the trash. And thank you to our public works department. We've put up new signage, just outlining what's acceptable in the park. Drug use is not acceptable. Public intoxication is not acceptable. And the police have stepped up foot patrols and just being proactive, in the park, and it's made a real difference. And I think some of it is the word travels of what can you get away with in Kennedy Park, for example.
Absolutely.
And when people realize, I can't go shoot up heroin in the park anymore, and I can't just, down a six-pack and act out the way I do in the park because I'm going to be held accountable for that. That matters, and that word gets around. And I think that's what we're seeing now after just 8 or 9 weeks. And we're just getting started. There's a lot more to come with this. But Kennedy Park, just, again, as an example, is a jewel of a city park. It's right downtown. We have beautiful old trees and artwork, and he was named for President Kennedy, who spoke there in 1960 just before the election. And it's right next to City Hall. Mm-hmm. It's right in our backyard. And so the optics of it are huge. When we have people visiting the city, we need them to have a positive first impression. And so anyway, our downtown, we're working on addressing things like panhandling, on shopping carts and all of the corners, on just some of the aggressive, you know, behaviors that you see, open drug use, open drinking. We're getting a handle on it, and we need to put Williston's best face forward.
I think just hearing positive comments coming in that people are noticing is a win in itself. Like
Absolutely.
You said, it's the little things and the low-hanging fruit that you're tackling. But if people are already commenting and noticing it, that's a win in my book.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
If people are going out of their way
right.
to comment in
yes.
a positive manner, some good work is being done.
Yeah.
Let me just add, you said it's already a win. You know, one of the things we're trying to do is really plant the flag in certain places around our downtown and start showing people that progress is going to happen, that things are going to start turning. And the concept of, you know, I call it the concept of small wins, I think is really important. These small wins, whether it's cleaning up the park or addressing the graffiti or addressing just some of the other conditions downtown, they start adding up. Those small wins start adding up into larger momentum. And once we start establishing some larger momentum, that's when I think things really start moving, you know, for the city, when people really start believing that we're changing, people start really start believing that things are getting better. And just the psychology of all that is really important. People want to be on something that has an upward trajectory, that is up and coming. Nobody wants to be on a sinking ship. And so we need to do everything we can to start really generating some of these small wins that lead to a larger momentum for the city, that really inspire that confidence in people and really get some of that that thinking and that sentiment out there that we are a place, we are a community on the rise, not falling. And so that's what we're trying to do with a lot of these strategies is, and it has to be visual. It has to be tangible. People have to drive past Kennedy Park and be like, you know what? 6 months ago, I saw, you know, a whole lot of things there that I wouldn't even get out of my car and go there, but it's looking pretty good right now. And maybe I'll consider like, you know, picking up some food and eating lunch there because it looks pretty good right now. That sinks into people's minds. And that's what I think really gives us some of the, as I said, the momentum and some of the, you know, getting people to really believe in the city again that we need. People need to see change to believe change in some ways.
Yeah,
and I like that mentality too, where, you know, gaining the momentum where some people, they get that small win and they're like, oh, I'm just going to kick back and take a break because we had a little win here. And then it kind of like, you kind of get back to where you started and have to start all over again, which is the little wins. You're like, keep going.
It's never ending.
Yeah.
It's never ending.
Right.
You can't let up.
Yeah. Right. One of the issues that seems to be a major concern in not only Lewiston, but seemingly every city across the country is housing. And Lewiston seems to be ahead of the curve there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, so the exciting thing is we do have, I think it's nearly 1,000 units of new housing coming online or slated to come online, we'll say the next 4 or 5 years, really within like a 10 to 15 minute walk of our downtown, which is really exciting. Now, some of that is market rate. A lot of it is more on the affordable end and certain, you know, thresholds of affordable housing. So that's really exciting. So I think, you know, the city has done a good job with lining a lot of housing projects up. I think the more the conditions in the city improve overall, the more we'll attract some market rate investment into the community, you know, for sure. But, you know, all of these developments, I think, again, start, you know, are part of that building momentum that, you know, retailers looking at downtowns, other housing developers look at and be like, well, there's some real action happening in this city. Let's take a look at getting in. All of these things start snowballing and giving us, you know, some of that real horsepower for the future. So, you know, we're excited to have all these new housing units come online. I think we're always looking for some more market rate housing, you know, also. I hear a lot about, well, really across the spectrum, we need housing from affordable at the lowest levels all the way up to market rate. But there are a lot of people who work at the hospitals or Bates College or other places that are also struggling looking for housing more in the market rate, you know, realm. And so it will be really interesting to see more of that in the future, too. So, yeah, I think we're excited on the housing picture. You know, the other piece is, you know, Lewiston comparatively obviously, to communities not even that far from here, take Brunswick, for example, or obviously Falmouth and Freeport and those places in Portland. You know, and you can buy a nice house here for, you know, half the price that you can in Portland. And so, you know, I'm hoping that we can, as we build our reputation, as we build some exciting things happening here, we do get that second look from some folks, you know, maybe more in Cumberland County who are getting priced out of the market there. And, you know, go 35 minutes up 95 is Lewiston, Auburn. Is that another place we may consider moving? And I think we have an untapped market there, too, mm-hmm. because, like I said, you can get a nice house in this area. You know, we're so close to a lot of great amenities, and we have a lot of great things, like, right here.
Yeah.
But I think we need to get a second look from a lot of people out there for them to consider moving here or moving their business here. And some of that goes back to the things we talked about a few minutes ago, the public safety and the image and some other things. So the more we can do on that end, I think the more we get that second look from a lot of people within Maine and outside of Maine to stay in Lewiston. I'd love to see more Bates College faculty and staff stay in town, stay right. in this community. I'd love to see more, you know, people that working at the hospital and other places stay right in town. Don't drive back to Falmouth. Let's stay right here in Lewiston.
Shortly after you took the position, Brian, you said Lewiston has assets that other communities don't. Can you expand on that?
Yeah. So number one, like I said, I put our people number one. So we are one of the youngest cities in the state, if not the youngest. We have an incredible diverse group of people here and workforce. The number of languages spoken here is unbelievable. It's amazing. So our people. And, you know, we have a history of being hard workers also. So that's, you know, number one. Number two, just, you know, the city itself, you know, and people sometimes forget about this. You know, we have incredible downtown. We have incredible architecture. We have incredible parks. And sometimes we can overlook, you know, all of that. I tell people when you're downtown, sometimes, you know, take a minute to look up at the buildings sometimes too. Look at, you know, the spires on the churches. Look at, you know, all the, you know, the ornamental woodwork and everything on the buildings. We have incredible architecture here too. And the layout is really just great. You know, I know there's some other communities in Maine. I talked to some other, you know, people in this business, and they would love to have the downtown that we have. A lot of places, they really don't even have a downtown. It's just whether it's a, you know, sort of a strip mall thoroughfare or something like that. So we have a lot to work with here. You know, and the river, I think, is something else that's often overlooked. I was talking with someone the other day, and we were talking about, again, kind of the positive attributes or assets of Lewiston, and their number one thing was the river. I was like, that's very interesting, and I agree with that, because it had, I think, a poor reputation in the past as being the dirty Androscoggin River, and you couldn't swim in it and all these other things. But we have a beautiful riverfront. The falls is beautiful. Samard Payne Park right on the river has incredible potential. We have the dock down there now in the river. You know, we've had some rowing events. I'd love to see Bates College move their crew team right to, you know, the Androscoggin in downtown. So we shouldn't overlook some of our, I guess my point is, our natural resource assets also. And we have some great parks, whether it's Samard Payne or Kennedy Park, or the trails, the Riverwalk along the river. There's some great assets here.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is when I'm coming down Gough Hill up here in Auburn and just looking at the skyline. We have a really cool skyline.
Yeah,
when you
absolutely.
Get look at the Franco and the Agora and the Basilica and even this church up here in Auburn, like that, just it's really cool. And I don't think a lot of cities have that. To your point of the architecture,
Brian, how would you describe the working culture at City Hall? In your short time here. I know that may not be a fair question after 2 months on the job.
It's kind of a loaded question.
Yeah,
too, but we're going to talk about it. We're here
curious.
To talk about real things here. So,
sure.
You know, we have a lot of let me say this first of all. We have a lot of dedicated employees, and that's a really great thing. We have a lot of long-term employees. I've been impressed with some of the tenures. We had two retirements last week, actually. One was 48 years, one was 43 years.
Wow.
So we have a lot of dedicated employees who have literally dedicated decades of their lives to this place. So some great people. You know, I'll be honest, it's not always 100%. You never get 100%. There's always a couple areas that, you know, need some improvement. But the other thing I'll say about the staff is I think they've been through a lot in the last 5 years or so, too. I mean, I'm the fourth or fifth person to occupy this chair in the last since Ed Barrett retired in 2019 or 2020. So there's been some significant turnover in my position. There's been some significant turnover at the council level. We've had some significant events here, you know, October 2023 in the last number of years. In the past year, there were some negative headlines about previous administrations here. So I think the staff has been through a bit of a tumultuous time, I'll say, in the last 5 years also. And so part of my goal is to turn, the page to a new chapter and to provide some stability and some continuity. And really, same thing I've been doing with the public, get to know the staff, hear their concerns, total open door policy. How can I help you in your mission? How can I help you do your job better? How can we help better serve the community? These are all things we're talking about on a daily basis. But, sometimes it's rough on the staff with this much turnover and also just being in sort of a bit of a limbo. You know, Brian O'Malley did an amazing job, as interim, manager or administrator. But his job was also that of an interim, which is really to keep things moving and keep everything flowing until someone else, comes in, which he did a great job with. But I think it was also maybe a little bit of, sort of maybe not anxiety, but obviously the staff was wondering what's next,
right?
What's happening next, what's coming at us next, because I guess some of the last experiences didn't work out, that well. So I think that's kind of where we are, but I've been really impressed with just the dedication to the city from so many people. Mm-hmm.
I think something we have noticed in the studio, Pam and Sarah and myself frequented these businesses quite often. There have been, it seems, over the past year or two, a lot of businesses downtown shutting their doors.
Yep.
And the reasons vary, but is there anything we can be doing to better ensure their success and retain these businesses?
The reasons do vary, but I've tried to meet with most of these businesses, the ones that have already exited and some here. Number one, we need to always be a good partner with these businesses. The city needs to be seen as someone who's a helping hand, not just a hindrance. And we obviously have certain requirements and certain codes we need to meet. But it's really important that people see us, the city government, as an asset, not someone who's there to tear them down or make their lives difficult. It's tough running a business, especially in a downtown environment sometimes. And I think we just need to be mindful of their concerns and hear their concerns. And, some of their concerns, I will tell you, are some of the things we've already talked about. Yeah. Some of the behaviors downtown have not been helpful to a lot of businesses. I talked to one in particular. There's, panhandling and unfortunately some people engaging in some activities that weren't great right outside their door all the time. It's very tough to run a business with your customers coming in and out when they walk out at your door and they're in a negative situation. So we need to be mindful of these things, and the city needs to do a better job on some of those, and we are. And we're going to continue to improve that in the future for sure. But I think there have been some varying reasons. Some of, I think, just found the economic conditions, of the day with their business, tough also. But, I guess the message I want to get out there is, though, that the city is here as a good partner, as a helping hand. We're not here to tear you down. We're not here to make your life difficult. And we are here to help solve problems downtown. And we do have some problems, and we're aware of them. We're working on them, and we hope for some major progress, now and into the future. But, our downtown is critical, because most people, when they visit Lewiston, they're probably going to come to our downtown. They're probably going to go to one of the restaurants. They may be visiting Bates College or something else in the area. But we've got to make sure we get the downtown right. We have, like I've talked about, incredible potential. We want filled storefronts, not vacant storefronts, too. And so we need to do our part in that. And, I think the city can accept some blame, particularly around some of the conditions that have been allowed to kind of fester downtown. But we're aware of them. We're addressing them. And we're moving on and moving up.
Brian, as we approach the finish line to this first episode of Lewiston Live, I'm wondering if you could give us an idea of things to look forward to for Lewiston residents within the next month.
Yeah, great. So number one, we have some great festivals coming up. The Balloon Festival is coming up in August, and that's going to be incredible again in Samar Payne Park. So please check out the Balloon Festival. But again, as we've talked about in this hour, we are working on some of the city's biggest challenges on a daily basis, whether it's public safety, whether it's improving the city's image and some of the visual blight that we see downtown or other parts of the city. I want everyone to know that we understand the issues, we are on it, and we are trying to make progress every day. That progress won't happen overnight, but it is happening. And I think Kennedy Park is one example of that, where we see actual tangible progress happening. So we're going to continue to work on that. We're going to continue to work with our downtown businesses and others to really try to make some strides and create a vibrant community. But we have some great festivals coming up. We're in summer in Maine, so please visit some of these parks that we talked about. Please get out and about in the city. And, you know, I do want to leave people with the message also that, you know, there's a lot more right in Lewiston that's wrong with Lewiston. Sometimes we tend to focus on the negative over and over and over again. And that narrative just perpetuates. But we have a lot of great assets here. We have a lot of great things happening in this community. And we really are poised for a really great future. So we're working on that every day at City Hall. And we need everyone's support to do that, too. So sometimes the negativity is easy to keep circling with. But we know our challenges, but it's time to focus on what are our solutions. And so we're focused on that. We're doing that every day. And my door is always open. We have another public engagement opportunity. We're doing a mixer at the library, Callahan Hall, on July 31st at 4:30. So you'll see me there. And again, this is another opportunity to come and talk to me about whatever it is. And it can be the worst complaint in the world, or it can be a compliment. We'll take all of it. And we're going to be doing those monthly going forward also and checking in back here. So thank you very much.
All right. Sounds great. The Lewiston Auburn Balloon Festival happening August 15th through the 17th at Samard Payne Memorial Park in Lewiston. Have you ever been up in a balloon, Brian?
I have not. I'm not sure I'm going to do it.
Okay. Just checking.
But I love the Balloon Festival.
It is. It's a great time. Thank you for listening to the Lewiston Live podcast, a Lydia Media production. If you'd like to share your feedback or submit a question to be answered on a future episode, send an email to hello@lewistonmaine.gov.